Welcome everyone to the Big Book Workshop 2025. This is week 33 of the recording, and today's topic is step 8, considering harm. Remember that a reminder that this is a Big Book Workshop. We are not affiliated with any particular 12-step fellowship. However, we do try to follow the spirit of the 12 traditions. We only wish to be helpful. The goal of these steps is a transformation, a change in the way we think, feel, and behave. This is a way of living that brings peace, forgiveness, and joy. May you find some of that here with us. Thank you, everyone. Welcome. Let us begin. I'm closing my eyes and bringing myself in to a set aside. God, please set aside everything I think I know about myself, about this workshop, about these 12 steps, my spiritual path, and you. Please open my heart. Please open my mind and allow me to have a new experience, a new experience of recovery, a new experience of these 12 steps, my spiritual path, and especially this connection with you. So, welcome. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Just taking a gentle moment to open the room and center ourselves. Why are we here? The 12th step reminds us, having had a spiritual awakening, we fall asleep and we wake up. We come here to wake up. Waking up is part of what we do when we do these steps. Today, we are starting step 8. And I'd like to start with coming to the greeter, Cheryl. Welcome.
Hey everyone, my name is Cheryl and I'm your greeter today, and I'd really like to welcome you to the meeting. If you open up the Zoom chat, Steph will soon post a welcome pack. You'll be able to see that. It's a free download and it includes information about this workshop, other links, and other helpful podcasts. If you're having any technical difficulties today or have any other questions, please let me know in the chat. For those of you on the telephone today, this welcome pack is also available on our website in the resources page, www.bigbookworkshop.com.
Thank you, Cheryl. The next few weeks is steps 8 and 9. They are arguably the most important part of the work that we do, the impact that we have on others. Restoration is how the Oxford Group called it, how to restore relationships with our spirit and ourselves and our community. Restoration. On my own willpower, I am likely to re-harm myself, my relationship to my spirit, and the others around me, my community. I will think I'm doing a good job, but I am very easily. It's my thinking, remember? I get hijacked by my body, physical reactivity, step one. I also get hijacked in my mind. So I will think I have solved the puzzle. I have the solution. I will think I know what I need to do. And yet I will be in distorted thinking, obsession of the mind. And I won't recognize it because it is my mind that is an obsession. And so we practice and we show up and we lean into our guides, lean into step guides, lean into this community here with experience. The key for step eight and step nine is identifying the difference between what I did and what was the harm. That recognizing these are two distinctly different things. When you can identify those two and you are able to reflect those two different things in sponsorship or with a guide, that is when you might be able to move forward. Even then, even when you identify the harm, you may not be able to consider how to restore, how to do an amends. What would that look like? Over the next few weeks, we will be practicing different examples of an amends. We will be showing you how to write a script of how to do an approach, how to do an approach to someone that doesn't want to talk to you, or someone that has passed away, how to do an approach to a child, someone in fellowship, someone not in fellowship. There are differences in the way that we approach people. It is not okay for us to scare people. Like, because we want to unload, what happens is we want to unload our guilt. I'm guilty. Well, that's me. And yet we want to be free of my guilt. And so it just comes out and we create mess, a bit more mess. So here we're moving gently, we're considering, and we're learning. We open our hearts and minds for something new. That's what we do when we do the set aside. Set aside what we think we know. Open our hearts and minds for something new. That's all. Just living in that set aside prayer. I've been reflecting these last few weeks on the set aside, the prayer, as we read it. The big book asks us to do a set aside. It says, lay aside our prejudice. You will have prejudice. I just spoke then, and in your minds, I imagine some of you would have been saying, I know what she's talking. I know what I need to do. I da, 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 da. Our brain thinks things. That is the nature of what we do. Obsession of our body gets hijacked and our brain gets hijacked. It's just the nature of our living experience. So this set aside, as I say it today, it came from a fellow in the AA fellowship who got very, very sober, and he got very, very clever, and he studied and became a PhD, very clever, clever, clever doctor, literally a doctor of psychology, telling everyone what to do, very loud personality. And he got so clever that he got drunk. We just become very clever drunks. Why am I here? Am I here to get clever? Or am I here to wake up? The 12th tradition reminds us over and over, remind yourself. This is not a program in the food fellowships. You will find people in every fellowship, but I see it here where it's ticking boxes. If I do this and this and this and this, then I will be okay. No, you won't. You'll just be a drunk. You'll be a very clever drunk with lots of ticks. Right? I am not here. This is not 12 steps of ticking boxes. It's 12 steps. So that I can wake up, waking up, having had a spiritual awakening. What does that mean to you? What would it look like to be woken up, to have that connection to spirit today? So, that fellow who got very clever and got very drunk, and so was that clever drunk, It was a grace that he was able to turn around and come back one day after a period. He came back, and that sponsor was still in the program, was there, and was open to him. And he came back and he said, "What happened? What do I do?" And the sponsor said, "I want you to set aside all of your knowledge. Set it aside. It's useless. You just showed yourself, you just demonstrated that it doesn't help." And the sponsor said, "I want you to set aside all that you've learned, all of your knowledge, and open up to something new. Set it aside. It's not helpful." And that position of humble, set aside is what we want, we pray, we hope to achieve. To set aside what I think I know. Even now, today, every minute, to be open, to be teachable. So, I would now like to call on Lynn for the next section. Thank you, Lynn.
All right. Our topic today is step eight, considering harm. Step eight with Joe went today's date. This is part of the Big Book Workshop. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step eight in practice. Step eight is a bridge between step seven and step nine. Step seven gives us humility. Step eight brings willingness. Step nine moves us into action and repair. Each step builds on the one before, moving us from insight into living amends. In step eight, we make a list of names. This is a list of the people, places, and things where we may have created some harm. Remember, hurt people hurt people. When I'm disturbed, I impact others and myself negatively. Ask yourself, number one, who is affected by my actions, words, or neglect? Number two, who lost trust, peace, or safety because of my behavior? Remember, we are not yet making an amends. That is step nine. We pause here. Review my thinking in sponsorship. In step eight, we're becoming ready. This is the step of willingness. If I'm not ready yet, I can pray for willingness. Willingness often grows as we stay honest and open. Gentle reminder, I'm 100% responsible for my own actions and my emotional reactivity today as an adult. Trauma can make this step confusing. Our thinking may swing between being overly responsible or not responsible at all. So go slow, be gentle, and keep moving. Together, we can do what we could never do alone. Practice gently letting go of the idea that I am responsible for how other people feel. Also, let go of the idea that they caused me to feel a certain way right now. That may be a trauma response thought. So go gently, keep learning, and remember, you are not alone. There are five questions we use to complete a step eight list. Here are the homework questions for step eight. Who did I diminish? What did I do? What harm did I cause? What specific actions are necessary to repair the damage to others? Am I willing to repair the damage?
examples, separating what I did from the harm. Example one, gossip or criticism, what I did. I talked negatively about my coworker behind her back. The harm. I broke integrity and trust. My words may have influenced how others see her and damaged the sense of safety and unity in the workplace. Note, focus on my action, not how she felt, which I cannot control. Example two, withholding emotionally, what I did. I withdrew from my partner and gave the silent treatment for days instead of sharing honestly. The harm, my withdrawal created emotional distance and confusion. It was a form of control or punishment that replaced honest communication and weakened intimacy. Note, recognize the impact emotional distance without claiming to know the other person's feelings. Example three, financial irresponsibility. What I did, I borrowed money from my sister and didn't repay it as promised. The harm, I broke an agreement and damaged trust. My inaction may have caused her financial strain and resentment and undermined reliability in our relationship. Note, identify my behavior, failure to follow through without judging her reaction. Example four, over helping or rescuing, what I did. I stepped in to fix my son's problems without being asked, believing I was helping. The harm, I interfered with his opportunity to take responsibility for his own life. My help may have kept him dependent or resentful, left me drained and frustrated. Principle, good intentions don't remove the harm of crossing boundaries. My part was control disguised as care. Example five, dishonesty by omission. What I did, I avoided telling the full truth to keep peace or protect my image. The harm, I created confusion and mistrust by hiding facts that others had the right to know. My avoidance made honest connection impossible. Principle, when I withhold healthy truth, I harm intimacy and integrity, even if my motive was to keep everyone calm, air quote. Go gentle, go gently, be honest, be willing. Freedom grows through these steps. And that's a message with love and gratitude from Joe. Okay, moving on. Our speaker share. Now I would like to introduce our first speaker, Marina, who will share on her experience, strength, and hope, what it was like, what happened, what it's like now. Our timer today is, I forget who's the timer, Mary. Thank you. Mary will be coming in with a reminder to Marina. All right, Marina. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn. My name is Marina, and I am an alcoholic and very grateful to be here and to be studying these steps. They certainly help me to focus on honesty, and for me, that takes courage to be honest. I am a person of extremes, one way too far, one way too far the other, and finding that balance in these steps and these topics, especially in steps 7, 8, and 9. So my first thought came about making an amends recently, and it was to a coworker. And I had been speaking to it was gossip. It was gossip, and I was speaking to another coworker, and I had criticized her the way she was handling something, and I called her a drama queen. And I said, why is she being such a drama queen? I had no idea. I was so thoughtless, really, that 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 would affect her, and that that would affect the person I was speaking to, that it would get around to through the team, and then it would get to the person I was speaking about. And I had no idea that that, I was just so in a self, righteous mode, or thinking, passing judgment, thinking that this isn't a big deal. It was critical. It was critical, and it just rolled off my tongue. I didn't even, give it thought. It just came out. And when I did that, not only affected her reputation, but the person that I said that to, I affected her trust in me, because here I am saying that. When I think about that, really, people, like, they're not prepared, so I just, I broke integrity, and I broke trust, with my colleague. And they had a ripple effect in that way. And she did not know how to respond. I could tell, because she kind of froze. There was no response one way or the other. And that was, now that I think back, probably a very mature way to handle it. But she did not respond. And then I kind of tried to back out of it in a way. But once I was in the mud hole, I'm in the mud hole. I mean, I'm only joking about it at this very moment, because it's a year old. But at the time, I realized very loud and clear what I had done. And I felt really bad. I felt really bad. And I those are the harm I had done was to create, to affect the team. We lose disunity when we lose t trust. And I learned from AA that disunity, to cause disunity, is not a good thing, because then it can cause confusion, and that's not a good thing. And we need to stay I need to stay cohesive, and feel a part of. That is what my harm did. My harm caused disunity, and that very easily can cause, confusion. Who can I trust in this team? Or maybe this team is just not trustworthy, I could see that what I had done was totally needed an amends. And who am I to judge or even be aware of somebody else's sensitivities? They have feelings too, even though I'm not responsible for how they took it and to the degree which they took it. It was not the right thing to say. I am not in a group of close, intimate friends that we can, play around, have a little rough play around. I am at a work. This is professional. My words are, go out to the team. So that's what, reminded me that that level of professionalism needs to be maintained. That protocol is different, and normally, as a person in recovery, I don't like protocols and rules and regulations and all that. That's kind of my nature to, but then I feel secure within them. Like I do with the protocols of a meeting. I feel secure in, like, the meeting's going to be like this. I'm safe here. And my, how I behave at work, helps others to feel, that they can depend on me a certain way. So again, I can't control how others people react and feel. All I can control is how I behave and the type of person I want to be based on the principles, of this program. So I did make a face-to-face amends to her, and she didn't quite know how to handle it, and but I did apologize, and I apologized to the girl, to the woman that I said it to initially. And now a year later, we're okay. We're okay, and not that it took a year, but it took time. It took time. And again, this is I have no control over how other people react to the depth of what my offense may have caused. But I know when I caused when I did something that was, when I needed to, when I harmed not just that one person, but the group and the team as a whole. And trust is so important in our work environment because we move very fast and we are under a lot of pressure. And I'm sure that, well, no, I shouldn't say I'm sure, but that's probably a common
Gentle
theme in,
reminder.
thank you, in the workplace environment that there's stress involved and there's a team of people. So this is why these steps help me to think out, to get me out of the bondage of self, but at the same time have a balance as to what am I responsible for and what I'm not responsible for. And I am a work in progress. So thank you all for helping me to work this program today and to stay in recovery. Thank you, Lynn.
Thank you so much, Marina. I loved hearing you share. I appreciate you very much. The next speaker is me. How about that? Mary, I would like to speak for 8 minutes, but could you come in at two and just give me a 2 minute gentle reminder and then the 8 minute? All right, because I'm gonna tend to go on. Good evening, everyone. I'm delighted to share my experience, strength, and hope on step eight and nine. And Joe encouraged me to talk about what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. And I'm going to focus that on recent step or step eight and nine through the Big Book Workshop. what it was like. I came into the Big Book Workshop. I have several years in OA recovery and have been around for a while and have experienced an abstinent life in from food. And what's really kicked me and really taken me out is my codependency. And I look at that as a separate addiction, but it was also a byproduct of food. It kind of went one with the other. So it was also something that I was able to manage in food recovery that I didn't compulsively overeat because of it, which is a grace from God. That's all I know. Because my emotional nature throughout my OA recovery has been up and down and quite colorful. So what that was like. So I raised my kids while I was recovering, and I have two adult children. Those two kids were 6 and 2 when I began my journey. And throughout the years, I did dabble in recovery in different codependent fellowships. But the problem is that I still kept rage going active, lies of omission and commission, and I was very unpredictable raising my kids. I didn't know those things, though. I didn't have a name for those things at the time. But what happened every time the bedevilments were read in a meeting, page 52, the part it says, we were having trouble with personal relationships. We couldn't control our emotional nature. We were a prey to misery and depression. We couldn't make a living. We had a feeling of uselessness. We were full of fear. We were unhappy. We couldn't seem to be a real help to other people. I could check off many of those. Some of those had improved, but many had not. And I felt very shameful around that because I was in recovery and didn't those things resolve, right? So what was I missing? And that desire to get that right, to feel better in that regard, to know that I was not having trouble with personal relationships, to know that I could control my emotional nature led me to seek more. And I sought out, I found Herb and I found his workshop and I went through and I would like to say came out of that. I came out of that still needing more help. I still couldn't get there. What was ailing me? And I wanted so much to have the promises. And I knew, I actually went through Herb's shop once online, like once just his work, and then once online with him. And I couldn't make amends to my family and I couldn't figure out my part and Joe's workshop. So what happened? Joe's workshop began and I heard the message, the same big book message differently through her workshop and through this process. And I really got down. I love the question she asked, you know, who was affected by my words, actions, or neglect? Who lost trust, peace, and safety? And working on that last year is I was able to make amends to my adult children. And the reason being there was some unhealthy behavior between my spouse and I that just pulled the family down, you know, while I was raising those kids. And it was very daunting. It was very, I have had a lot of shame and a lot of weight, but I couldn't get the words out, you know, and working with a sponsor through the Big Book Workshop, I took Joe's extra credit, if you will, the recovery, codependency recovery program. I went there with her just to chisel away at my exact nature. Because when it came to them, I couldn't figure it out. I really, the early, early, early amends, early, early, early in recovery, I owe money. I mean, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a check any time of day. Making living amends with my kids was one of the hardest things and the most gratifying things. So what happened? I was able to say something to them very gently, like Joe suggests, you know, that I was unhealthy and may have caused them harm. I had it up and now I can't find it. So God doesn't want me to read what I wrote, but or what I have written down, but it was such a gentle and beautiful sentiment. I could say, you know, I didn't show up the best way as your mom. And, I love you and I regret it. And I was able to say, you know, I was unhealthy with your dad and it's not the excuse, but that's, you know, it's not the excuse for not showing up. And they both were really tenderhearted to hear that. And this year, there's been some more revealed and I went back for a quick cleanup and said a similar thing with a few more awarenesses and they
That's
both received
reminder.
It so well. Thank you. They both received it so well. So what is it like today, right? I work this program ferociously. I adore this format of the Big Book Workshop. Currently, I am wrapping up. I'm a little bit behind the assignment. I'm wrapping up 6 and 7. But I have a life that's growing in transparency today. That was part of my problem. The lies of omission were just so insurmountable to me, and that caused a lot of my rage and emotional chaos to those around me. And I'm clearing the wreckage today and showing up today. And I wanted to look at the I want to end with the promises, you know. I'm just going to read this from page 83, why we do it. If we're painstaking about this phase of our development, we'll be amazed before we're halfway through. We're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We'll not regret the past or wish to shut the door on it. We'll comprehend the word serenity and we'll know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we'll see our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We'll lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole outlook and attitude upon life will change. Fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. We'll intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. That's it. Thanks for letting me share. And I'll pass.
Thank you so much. Thank you to our members doing service. I invite you to unmute and head off. We'll see you next week. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Steph. Thanks,
Cheryl.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good week.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.